Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, trade and China are expected to top the agenda as Justin Trudeau visits Washington.
We're going to be talking about the challenge that China poses to the global trading system, to our own countries and our own economies, and we're going to make sure that we can work together to support each other and move forward in the right way.
Andrew Scheer calls for global perspective when it comes to dealing with climate change.
If you shut down Canada's entire economy for a year, China would replace all our emissions within 3 weeks. The fact is, Canada will not make a meaningful contribution to fighting climate change by focusing only on our own emissions. We must look beyond our borders.
And the Trans Mountain Pipeline decision continues to draw criticism.
The race to the bottom of this pipeline between Liberals and Conservatives is taking us in the wrong direction. Instead of ending fossil fuel subsidies, this Prime Minister is buying pipelines. Instead of legally binding emissions targets, this Prime Minister is continuing down Stephen Harper's targets.
It's Thursday, June 20th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by Christy Kirkup of the Canadian Press. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Mark.
So the Prime Minister is in Washington today to meet with U.S. President Donald Trump. We're expecting China to be on the agenda, trade as well. It's interesting, Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, is saying Democrats won't pass the new North American trade deal if it's just, quote, NAFTA with sugar on top. So there's a lot at stake in this meeting today. Tell me how you think it's going to go and what's on the agenda.
Well, I think this is seen as a very critical meeting between Trudeau and Trump, specifically because it comes ahead of the G20 summit that will be happening next week in Japan. And Trudeau, before he headed to Washington, he spoke to reporters just outside a caucus meeting where he essentially said that, you know, they're often asked why they don't meet at international summits. And he says it's because they're right next to each other and they see each other all the time. This is the third time that they're having a meeting like this in Washington. And Trudeau does say that China is going to be a key part of the discussion with Trump and also global issues that will be on the agenda at the G20 summit. And the meeting with Trump today, of course, comes as Canada is really pushing for the release of two Canadians, Michael Kovrig and Michael Spavor, who remain in detention. These detentions have been deemed arbitrary by the Canadian government, and they're widely viewed as a retaliation, essentially, for the arrest of a Huawei executive in Vancouver on an American extradition warrant. So we know that when Mike Pence, the U.S. vice president, was in Ottawa recently at the end of May, he essentially said that Trump was likely to raise the issue of the detention of the two Canadians in a meeting with the Chinese president. By the way, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is trying to get his own meeting with the Chinese president, which, by the way, the Prime Minister's office hasn't confirmed that that is going to happen. And there are questions about whether that's actually going to be possible or maybe if they'll have a politicized conversation. But again, this meeting is really key. In addition to the conversation about NAFTA and trekking towards ratification, of course, of the trade pact, what will Donald Trump be willing to say to the Chinese president during his bilateral meeting at the G20, and will he be able essentially to go to bat for Canada and to try and really push for these two Canadians to be released?
Yeah, and will he be willing to do that, right? Is he, or is Donald Trump okay with the fact that there's a lot of tension around and this is all part of the brinksmanship of trying to get China in line on trade?
And, you know, there is the dynamic, of course, of the trade battle, of course, between the United States and China that's happening right now. But, you know, we did hear from Pence that this is the issue of the detention of the two Canadians is you know, something they've already spoken out about it, Mark. They've already made that public. In fact, the Chinese Foreign Ministry has had some pretty harsh words for the United States because it's speaking out about the detention of the two Canadians. And it's not the U.S. Canada's relying on alone, looking at other countries like France and Germany and the UK and Australia, other allies who are speaking out as well to say that the two Canadians need to be released.
All right, let's turn to Andrew Scheer's climate plan, which I think was a crucial step towards his election hopes. If this climate plan didn't meet a certain threshold, I think a lot of people would have dismissed Andrew Scheer as somebody who could become the next prime minister of this country. So what do you think? Let's walk through what's included in the plan and talk about how people are reacting to it.
So Andrew Scheer, as you say, made this key announcement. He decided to do this in Chelsea, Quebec, which is actually not too far away from essentially a flooding area that was hit for a second time in 3 years this spring. And we know, of course, that climate change, we knew, was going to be a big issue going into the election. But of course, the recent flooding that has happened in places in Quebec, like this one, and in other parts of the country, that this has really been a focal point this spring as we lead into the campaign. So specifically, Scheer, in his plan, is promising that this is going to be Canada's best chance to hit the Paris Climate Change Agreement targets. He says that he can get there without a carbon tax. The plan, Mark, does not specify how much any of its 55 elements would cut emissions. So again, the path to get there, there are some questions about that. But essentially, the plan is suggesting that the path would include using Canadian products to reduce emissions in other countries. So Scheer has been delivering a series of policy announcements. As you mentioned, there's been a lot of discussion leading up to this particular announcement because we were wondering where he was going to go specifically because he's made it very clear that he is opposed to a carbon tax, and that's also expected to be a central debate in the upcoming election campaign. But again, as you say, a critical moment for Andrew Scheer leading up to the October vote.
Yeah. And how are people reacting to it? Do you think it's enough to, I don't think this is an issue on which the Conservatives can win the election, but it might be one on which they could lose the election.
Yeah, I think that there are even some Conservatives that have been critical to date about the lack of details around a climate plan because there are many Conservatives who actually believe in conservation and that this is an important piece of the puzzle if Scheer seriously wants to be able to take on Justin Trudeau in the upcoming election campaign. So again, there are lots of questions about, again, how would you get there to hitting those targets under the Paris Climate Agreement, again, without a carbon tax, and also not really suggesting, which elements in the plan would actually lead to the goal of actually slashing emissions. So I'm sure that people will continue to have questions about the plan and put questions to Andrew Scheer about it, specifically the Liberals. Again, he's at least come out with this policy now, which helps to inform the debate, if you will, a little bit more than when he had no plan out there at all.
Yeah, nobody can say anymore you don't have an alternative plan. And so
he's
at least ticked that box. All right, let's talk about reaction to the Trans Mountain pipeline announcement earlier this week. The Trans Mountain CEO is saying shovels could be in the ground by this September. There are still people, though, who are skeptical that this pipeline is actually going to go ahead. How would you sum up some of the reaction that's been happening over the course of the last couple of days since the announcement was made?
Yeah, one of the main skeptics is actually Andrew Scheer, suggesting that he doesn't actually believe that this pipeline is going to be built. We did hear a similar sentiment from the Alberta Premier Jason Kenney, who of course was supportive of Cabinet's decision on TMX, but he was echoing those concerns leveled by Andrew Scheer, essentially saying that the second approval of the Trans Mountain pipeline isn't a victory to celebrate. He called called it just another step in a process that has frankly taken too long. On the other end of the spectrum, of course, you have the BC Premier, John Horgan, coming out to say that he is disappointed by the federal government's approval of the TMX pipeline expansion project. And of course, his words were also echoed by environmentalists across British Columbia in particular, who have concerns about this project. Additional critics, namely, for example, First Nations leaders or some First Nations leaders coming out to say, you know, it really doesn't make sense that the federal government bought a pipeline and is, you know, saying there's a national climate emergency that happened in House of Commons this week, and yet turns around and approves the TMX pipeline. And just outside the Prime Minister's office, just last night, there was a demonstration that was happening, and obviously the government is anticipating there's going to be that pushback. There's been pushback to the TMX pipeline all along, and so it's not a surprise that this is a contentious decision, which, by the way, former cabinet ministers Jody Wilson-Raybould and Jane Philpott, now independent MPs seeking re-election as independents in the fall, they both spoke out actually against the TMX approval, which was interesting considering that Jody Wilson-Raybould was actually there standing with Trudeau when it was originally approved. Mm.
Very interesting. All right, Christy, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today. Have a great day.
You too, Mark.
That's Christy Kirkup of the Canadian Press.
This plan gives Canada the best possible chance of achieving those targets. We know that the Liberal approach will not.
Now, here's what editorialists and columnists are writing about today. In an editorial, the Toronto Star argues Andrew Scheer's climate plan will be less efficient and more expensive. The Star writes, Andrew Scheer says industry, big polluters, and the like should pay, while regular folks should be let off the hook. But there are costs involved, and the issue is whether they will be made at least partly transparent through carbon pricing or hidden in higher prices passed on by businesses. As a political ploy to shore up support, this plan makes a lot of sense. As a way of actually achieving our climate goals in the most sensible way possible, not so much. In the National Post, John Iveson argues the Conservative climate plan gives voters what they want, expressions of concern with no actual cost. Iveson writes, the plan fits the bill for many Canadians who say they care about climate change, but are not willing to pay the equivalent of a Netflix subscription in extra taxes to fight greenhouse gas emissions. Andrew Scheer could have offered a bold vision of a new conservatism rooted in the desire to preserve and protect the environment. Instead, this is a missed opportunity. In the Globe and Mail, Conrad Jakubowski argues Justin Trudeau's credibility on Trans Mountain and the climate is shot. Jakubowski writes, Trudeau has tried so hard to play both sides of the Trans Mountain issue that neither side believes him anymore. Those who favor the project doubt he will ever let it be built, while the project's opponents don't think he's serious about meeting Canada's Paris Accord targets. What's clear is that Canada cannot at once be in a national climate emergency and approve a project that, whether Trudeau admits it or not, is aimed at boosting oil production. Now, here's what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. As we've talked about, Prime Minister Trudeau is in Washington today to meet with the U.S. President. CPAC's Martin Stringer looks at exactly how his day will unfold.
Mark, Justin Trudeau will head to the White House, where at noon Eastern Time, he'll be received by U.S. President Donald Trump. The two leaders will retire to the historic Oval Office for a half-hour sit-down meeting. On the agenda will be common defense issues, relations with China, and trade, including the ratification of the new NAFTA agreement. Prime Minister Trudeau has made it clear he will be seeking President Trump's support on issues such as China's detention of two Canadians and that country's escalating trade sanctions against Canada. It's Prime Minister Trudeau's hope that President Trump will raise the issue when he meets with Chinese President Xi at the G20 summit in Japan. Now, the two leaders will also sit down for a working lunch at the White House. Then at 2 p.m. Eastern, Justin Trudeau will head to Capitol Hill, where he'll meet with the Democratic House Leader Nancy Pelosi. And at 3 p.m., he'll sit down with Republican Senate Leader Mitch McConnell. At both meetings, he'll discuss Congress's ratification of NAFTA, and the Prime Minister will stress Canada's support for a rapid passage of the deal. At 4:30 Eastern Time, Trudeau will be at the Canadian Embassy on Pennsylvania Avenue to hold a media availability with reporters. A little after 8 p.m. Eastern, the Canadian delegation, including media, will leave Andrews Air Force Base for the flight back to Ottawa.
Thanks, Martin. Also today, Minister of Fisheries Jonathan Wilkinson will make an announcement in Toronto. Minister of Families Jean-Yves Duclos will make an announcement about the Canada Child Benefit in Ottawa. Infrastructure Minister François-Philippe Champagne will make an announcement in Montreal. And Governor General Julie Payette will present the Canadian Institutes of Health Research Gold Leaf Prizes to four laureates during a ceremony at Rideau Hall. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Thursday, June 20th. Tune in to Primetime Politics tonight on CPAC for coverage of all the day's events. Our podcast returns tomorrow morning. Have a great day.